on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Grammar Girl here. Last week, I mispronounced not one, but two names. So I'll start this week with corrections. And then we'll have a meaty middle with three tricks for memorizing vocabulary words. First, I told you about the English diarist Samuel Pepys, who liked to drink tea. But his name is actually pronounced Peeps, like the marshmallow chicks you buy for Easter. Samuel Pepys liked to drink tea. And second, I told you that the author of the piece about tea was from Magdalen College, which is not pronounced Magdalen, but is pronounced Maudlin. It's Maudlin College. And I was a little bit excited about this mistake because it gives me a reason to tell you about the word maudlin, which I wrote about in my book, 101 Words to Make You Sound Smart. So in this case, it made me sound stupid, but it is actually a really interesting word. Maudlin people are weepy, emotional, foolish, or gushily sentimental. And maudlinness can be someone's general disposition or can be brought on by alcohol or an emotional situation. Maudlin, the word, was first used in the early 1500s, and we get it from the biblical character Mary Magdalene. In medieval art, Magdalene was almost always shown weeping, either washing Jesus' feet with her tears or weeping outside his empty tomb. People of the time referred to anyone who had a similar weepy look or disposition as Magdalene. Over time, the pronunciation became slurred and the spelling changed to maudlin. A few years ago, I was especially delighted when I saw a news article about the declining number of nuns, and that article quoted a nun using the word maudlin. She said, "We can't be maudlin about it," which struck me as an excellent use of the word. So my apologies to Maudlin College, which is probably a much happier place than the name implies. As I said, that piece was from my book, 101 Words to Make You Sound Smart. I've written 7 books about language, and a great way to support the podcast and get a useful book is to buy one of them. Most physical bookstores carry Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing, my New York Times bestseller, and many carry my Ultimate Writing Guide for Students. Or you can search your favorite online bookstore for Grammar Girl to see all 7 books. And if you get one, post a picture to social media and tag me or let me know. I love to see those pictures. And now, on to tips for improving your vocabulary by Laura Wegman. Vexatious, irksome, rebarbative. You may not know all those words, but in a sentence, you get the idea. For instance, I'm so tired of studying these vexatious lists of test vocabulary. That should hint that the meaning of that first V word, vexatious, is troublesome. Whether you're studying for the SAT or ACT, an English test, or any other test where vocabulary is important, there are steps you can take to improve your understanding of unfamiliar words beyond just memorizing long lists. First, read. Are you a voracious reader who plows through a book a week? If so, you probably do pretty well on vocabulary-based exams, because the more you read, the more words you learn through context. Don't think you can only build vocabulary skills through reading textbooks or classics, though. Books you read for fun will help, too. So will news articles or magazines, especially on topics that are new to you. Better yet, your e-reader probably lets you click on a word to look it up. Try that to boost your vocabulary. You may also consider trying an app like Word Professor. It automatically highlights ACT and SAT words on any web page, and you can click on the word to see the definition. You can also save the words you don't know to a list for reviewing later. Next, practice seeing the big picture, because when it comes to figuring out words you don't know, context is key. Remember a few paragraphs ago where you heard the word voracious? Maybe you knew that word, maybe you didn't. Either way, I'll bet you understood what it meant in that sentence because the rest of the sentence makes clear that a voracious reader has a strong appetite for books. That's an example of drawing meaning out of context, and it's key to acing tests that draw on your knowledge of advanced vocabulary. Here's an example from the ACT's sample English questions that shows why context is important. The passage associated with the following question describes the writer's mother as a marine biologist who runs an unconventional household. It includes this sentence: "Everything was subservient to the disposal of the tides." Everything was subservient to the disposal of the tides. The question asks you to select the best alternative to the underlined portion of the sentence, which is "was subservient to the disposal of," followed by the tides. The choices are no change, but "was defenseless in the face of the tides," "depended on the tides," or "trusted in the tides." Maybe you don't know the word subservient, but here's the context, also known as the other sentences around it. Our meals weren't always served in the expected order of breakfast, lunch, and supper. Everything was subservient to the disposal of the tides. When the tide was low, Mom could be found down on the mudflats. When the tide was high, she would be standing on the inlet bridge with her plankton net. This passage conveys the idea that the mother works her family's schedule around her job. So in context, the best answer here is the second one. Everything depended on the tides. Practicing context comprehension will help you crack the code on these questions. You don't need to understand every word on its own. What's important is that you understand what the passage is trying to say. Finally, target the toughest words. Yeah, you can make flashcards and review them obsessively, but there are always a few words that are harder to make stick. And for those, you may need to trick yourself more creatively. Start by making a list of 10 words that are giving you trouble. Put it in a spot where you'll see it a lot, and then focus on those words until you have them down. Try saying them out loud and writing them out. Both methods will help you retain them better than just going over them mentally. For the ones that still won't stick, try a personal association. Here's an example. The word tangent is described as going off the main subject. You probably know a person who does this a lot. Say his name is Scott. Think of Scott on a sunny island vacation. He's a tangent, as in a dark-skinned man, rambling about random topics. Get it? Now you have a word association that's personal and easier to remember. If you are a more visual person, you can do something similar by drawing a small picture that helps you remember a word's meaning. Following these habits as a general rule, and not just right before test time, should give you a good foundation for understanding vocabulary words and should increase your chance of getting better test results. That segment was written by Laura Vegman, who is a contributing writer for Varsity Tutors, a live learning platform that connects students with personalized instruction to accelerate academic achievement. Thanks, Laura. And this week's featured listener is Carrie Mount. She says she's a teaching assistant at Ashesi University outside Accra in Ghana. She says, "Ashesi is the first liberal arts college in Africa, and working here is amazing. Most of my students had a limited study of English before coming to Ashesi. They know what they picked up from speaking it, but lacked formal education. So it's been great having Grammar Girl to point them towards when they ask about additional resources to help them improve their English writing. Where I could try pointing them towards something dry and boring like a style guide, showing them Grammar Girl gives them an interesting multimedia resource that they can listen to while they write papers. Also, I've been referring to it myself for some of the harder questions and for help parsing the differences between British and American English, since the writing here is about half and half. Wow, thanks, Carrie. I never get over hearing how people are listening halfway around the world. And before you write in, I know Ghana isn't halfway around the world, but it's still really far away, so consider it an idiom. And thanks again to Carrie for writing. If you have an interesting story about how you listen to the Grammar Girl podcast, please post it to the Grammar Girl Facebook page so I can share it on the podcast. And that's at facebook.com/grammargirl. I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. If you want to support the show, you can always buy one of my books, and you can find me online at quickanddirtytips.com. That's all. Thanks for listening.